Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So Father, we bless you and we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to serve you. Father, I pray that you'll put it on our hearts and our minds to become more and more aware of how to value this moment and value the opportunity you've given us. We give you praise and thanksgiving for it all. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen.
Amen.
Come on, open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Praise the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to just talk to you about something today. And we're going to begin a study in it. And I'm just going to do this study on Sundays. I started a different series on Thursdays. So I was trying to see how the Lord wanted me to do this. And so this is how I'm going to do it. Matthew chapter 5, look at verses 14 through 16. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. I'm reading, of course, as you know, from the King James Bible. You follow along in whatever translation you have. Verse 14, and it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And then the Bible says this in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let me read these three verses again one more time. And I wanted just to just fill the atmosphere with this. Verse 14 says, "Ye are the light of the world." You know, you got to get this. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And then Jesus says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, in this particular passage, of course, in Matthew chapter 5, we see the Beatitudes, and then we are taught and trained to see that Matthew 5, this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He was training his disciples now on how to be positioned to transform the world, but they had to know who they were. So in this particular teaching, and come on Zoom, everybody on the faith call, you got to get this with me today now, because I'm believing God that this teaching will transform and revolutionize the lives of those who hear it. This series is about living based upon my purpose being revealed to me and identifying how to find fulfillment without focusing on myself, Jesus. It's about developing a self-worth that performs intentional good things. And from this series, we're going to learn that I am important to God and I am important to the kingdom of God. So here's our subject. Now, everybody write this down. Everybody, come on, everybody on the faith call, you got to get pen and paper or whatever you use to write any notes down. And you got to make this big. Everybody got to get this. Now, before you write it, listen to the subject title. Here's a subject title: God says my life matters. God says my life matters. Go ahead and write it down. God says my life matters. Yes. God says my life matters. Now, if life does matter, how do I manifest? How do I manifest it? What do I do if I know my life matters? There are some people who inwardly question, do I matter? Does my life matter? I grow up, I go to school, graduate from school, get a job, go to work, go back home, and that becomes the cycle of life for me. So then the question comes up, do I matter? Oftentimes, and this is what you got to catch, my brothers and sisters, oftentimes we assume that people know that their lives matter. And because of that assumption, we don't handle relationships correctly. Because of that assumption, we don't relate to people in the right way. Because of that assumption, we think everybody handles problems and life situations just like we do. We don't value the moment, and we don't value the people God puts in our lives. Write yourself a note. I must value the moment God gives me, and I must value the people God put in my life. I must value the moment God gives me, and I must value the people God put in my life. One more time. I must value the moment that God gives me, and I must value the people God puts in my life. See, my brothers and sisters, watch this. When life matters to a person, they will live with a sense of value. They will live with a sense of worth. They will live with a sense of purpose, and that will restrict them from getting involved in certain activities, but also cause them to get involved in certain activities along the pathway of life that pleases God. Go with me, keep a marker at Matthew 5, keep a marker there, and go with me to John chapter 8. Everyone say, God says, my life matters. Now to you, this particular subject may not mean anything. But so I'm talking to the one who has been wrestling with that question, do I matter? Does my life matter? And so in John chapter 8, if you have it, see, I have it. Look at verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Underline this in your Bible, or highlight it in your smart device, whatever you're looking at. He that followeth me, that's the emphasis. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But what about the person who's struggling with, do I matter? What about the person who's been struggling with, does my life matter? I haven't gotten this to cause me to feel significant about life. So, does my life matter? When I look at somebody else, they seem to have these things in place, lined up. They're enjoying this, but not me. So, does my life matter? But here in this verse, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus, who never lies, says, first and foremost, I am the light of the world. Now, think back to our scripture text in Matthew 5. Because he said, you are the light of the world. You can't be the light of the world unless you're locked into, glory to God, with what Jesus is doing and who Jesus is. Say amen, somebody. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So the question is, who have I been following? Who am I following? When I think the thoughts that I think, who am I following to think that way? When I view my life and internalize certain feelings, who am I following to feel like that? Jesus says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. He says, they won't walk in darkness. So watch this. If they're not walking in darkness, they're walking in purpose. If they're not walking in darkness, they're walking in, watch this, value. If they're not walking in darkness, they're walking in worth. But the criteria is, am I following Jesus? So, you don't have to turn here. You can just make a note of it. Psalm 16:11 says, the psalmist says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Come on, everybody say, and come on, everybody on Zoom, say this with me as well. God has a plan, and a path for my life. Say it again. God has a plan and a path for my life. So the subject is, God says, my life matters. My life matters. So do you really know that you matter? And that applies, you know, like last week ministering to both married couples and single people. It applies to everybody, because you can be in the married state and still feel like I don't matter. That in this marriage, all my spouse wants is me to jump through hoops for them. Do this and do that. But what about me? Do I matter? A single person will think that they are less significant because they're not married, or they're less significant because they don't have the job, the salary, the house, the career. Do you really know that you matter? I want you to write yourself a question now. I want you to ask yourself that. Do I really know that I matter? Not assume, not guess. Not, well, sometimes I do, and sometimes, I don't know. No, do you really know that you matter? Write yourself a question. To the degree that you believe that life really matters, you will pursue something higher than anything you can achieve. I don't think y'all got that. To the degree that you believe that life really matters, you will always be in pursuit of something that's higher than anything you can achieve. You will never settle for your achievements to define your life, because you're in pursuit of something higher that gives you value in life. So what happens is, some people settle. Y'all help me get to the cross. Look at somebody and say, don't settle, don't settle, don't settle, don't settle, don't settle, don't settle, don't settle. Watch this, watch this. See if y'all can handle these two questions. Here's two questions. When you die, what will you be remembered for? When you die, what will you be remembered for? Here's the second question. Will you be missed for your presence, or will you be remembered for your contribution? Let me ask those two questions again. Everyone say, God says,
God says,
my life matters.
My life matters.
When you die, what will you be remembered for? What will people remember you for? Or will they just show up at the funeral? Talk about how sad it is that you're not here no more, and 2 days later forget that you were even here. What will you be remembered for? Second question, will you be missed for your presence, or will you be remembered for your contribution? Wow. Years ago, I was sitting in a funeral, watching everybody, and hearing the words that was expressed. I really didn't have a relationship with the person who had died. But I was there because it was a relative of one of our members. So, out of respect for the member, you know, Cheryl and I went, and I was listening. And just being there out of courtesy, out of respect for my member, but something happened to me in that funeral. I started seeing something. How will you be remembered? The question came to my mind. What will people say? Now, my family knows how hard I work. They know that how hard I try to lead them. Will my presence just be missed? Or will people remember my contributions? God says my life matters. Glory. So if my life matters, then that means that I have significance. Amen. And I don't have significance just because I go to work. I have significance because of who he has made me. Watch this. And go back to Matthew 5. And what he's given me to do. Look at this. Go back to Matthew 5. Come on, go back. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. Say, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now say, my life matters. My life matters. Look at this. Look what it says. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Wait. If it cannot be hid, it also cannot be forgotten. When you understand that your life matters, how you live and what you do, it won't be hid. But God says, not only that, it won't be forgotten. Look at this, verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. The reason why God says my life matters is because my life matters to other people. Not only do my life matter to other people, my life matters to God. Not only does my life matter to other people, not only does my life matter to God, my life matters to me. Because he's given me life to see how much of my life will I honor him with. What are you doing? How are you living right now? Or have you been living like your life matters, or have you been caught in a routine? Have you been just caught in the routine of life? And now some of us just coasting. Okay, look at this. Look at this. Verse 15 again. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Everyone say contribution. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. No, glorify your Father which is in heaven.
But see, if I don't believe that I have a light, then I'm not going to let my light shine. If I don't believe that I have a light, then I'm not going to look to do any good works, and I'm not going to live to glorify God. God won't be my factor for what I do and how I do. My factor for what I do and how I do would just be about me. But you got to believe that you have a life, a light, excuse me. Amen. Amen. So let's look at some people who may listen to this teaching besides you all here, or this may locate some of you all. You may be at a low time in your life right now, and you're listening to me today. Or you may be experiencing some things in your life right now that you don't like. You're not feeling low, so to speak, but you're being challenged, and you're tired of the challenges that you may have been facing. So there's somebody who may be low listening to me today. There may be somebody who's not necessarily low, but they're experiencing some things in their life right now that they don't like. And then there may be somebody who's just flat out sick and tired of being sick and tired. They've been experiencing some challenges in life, and they're tired of dealing with them. Or you may be at a place where you're stuck in life because of all the questions you have that you won't answer. These questions have caused you to feel lost and aimless in life. Or let's see if we can locate somebody else. You may be at a place to where you've just been coasting through life. You're comfortable now. Got your job, got your paycheck, you're comfortable. Got somewhere to lay your head, you're comfortable. Got a car to drive, you're comfortable. Now, you would like more to happen to you in life, but you're okay with where you are, and so you may be living stuck in complacency. And then there may be somebody who is angry at life. They're angry at what happened to them. They're angry at the people they blame for where they are, or they're also angry because of the people who hurt them in life. So as a result, this person is going through their life bitter, resentful, a ticking time bomb that if the right situation occurs or the wrong person says something to them, they will go off on them. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. These are different people who may be listening to this message, not just today, but who will hear it later. In all of these situations and scenarios that I've laid out, there are many more people who will feel like or have the tendency to feel like nobody cares about them. Nobody cares what has happened to them, and nobody cares what they are going through. Nobody cares. Do you struggle with that? Nobody cares. Nobody cares, so I don't matter. Nobody cares, so my life doesn't matter. And then let's add one more person to our list of people that we're trying to locate today. Let's use that particular Christian who says, I've been serving the Lord all this time, and this is where I am in life. I've been serving the Lord and going to church for a long time, and this is all I get in life. All the prayers I've prayed, all the people I've helped, all the good things I've done, all the financial seeds I've given, and it only gets me to this place? So then the question will torment them, this particular Christian, does my life matter? And then the adversary will trick them and they'll say, then what's the use then? What's the use in reading my Bible? What's the use in praying? What's the use in coming to church? What's the use in living for God? What's the use if I've been living for him all this time and this is all I got? Well, in this particular series, and we might look at this for about a good
two, three, 4 weeks, because we want to really come at this thing. God wants to show you that you matter. Everyone say, God says,
God says,
my life matters.
My life matters.
See, it's not about achievements. It's not about any accomplishments. It's not about what you can accumulate on earth. It's not about reaching your goals or your benchmarks that you've laid out for yourself. It's simply about you understanding God says you matter. You see, dear hearts, in every situation, in every negative situation in life, every negative circumstance in life, every negative experience in your life, the devil tries to convince you that you don't matter. Because when you don't think you matter, then you won't think it matters what you do. That's why some people have done a lot of things that they regret in life. A lot of things that they are ashamed of because of choices they made. They didn't think it didn't matter. The point you have to catch today, and if all I get to do is introduce this today, then I've done well. The point you have to catch today is that there are some things inside of you that God wants to give recognition and visibility to. The devil wants to prevent you from giving birth to the things that God has placed on the inside of you. If he can convince you that you really don't matter, write yourself a note. The devil tries to stop me by convincing me that I don't matter. The devil tries to stop me by convincing me that I don't matter. The devil tries to stop me by convincing me that I don't matter. One more time. The devil tries to stop me by convincing me that I don't matter. Wow. Wow. You know, in the early years when Cheryl and I were struggling in our marriage, I tried to use Cheryl as the gauge or the barometer to, you know, for my basis of significance or value. So our struggle in the early years, of course, we got married real young. You all know that. We got married real, real, real young. I had just turned 21. She was still 20. And the thing about it was, we were good people. We just didn't know how to do life. We didn't know how to relate to one another. We didn't know how to navigate through life's situations and challenges and circumstances. And so we were both stubborn, proudful. We both thought we were right. And so we clashed. And we loved each other, just couldn't get along with one another. Now, here's the thing about it. Here was a great awakening that took place. God got to Cheryl by revealing to her that I did not put Mark in your life to meet all your needs. Jesus is in your life to meet all your needs. So stop looking to Mark as your source. I'm your source. That little flip helped her. Did it fix all the problems? No, because she had to grow on that. And then the switch for me was that I had to learn that I mattered no matter how Cheryl responded. That I didn't need to get Cheryl to do what I wanted her to do in order for me to be happy. There's a lot of things I attached to her that I wanted her to do to fulfill my happiness, and God had to reveal to me I didn't put Cheryl in your life for that. Cheryl is not the source of your happiness. Cheryl is your partner in life. So that's why you all hear me say more so now, because that was a revelation I caught. Cheryl is my faith partner. She's my fun partner. She's my family partner, my financial partner, my future partner, because I had to transition from that instead of thinking that she had to do this, 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 this. And I'm happy. I remember one time going to God. I shared this before. Because, you know, I got married with the thoughts, my wife got to cook for me. And she didn't want to cook no eggs that morning. I'm upset. I go in the bathroom, I'm talking to God. Oh, you need to come get her. She don't want to cook no eggs. I got a response that I wasn't expecting to get. God said, get in there and cook them yourself. Oh, sir, that's not right. And so God says, you mean to tell me you're going to allow the rest of your day to be ruined because Cheryl didn't cook eggs that you could have cooked yourself? Well, I didn't see it like that, because I had attached my happiness that morning to Cheryl cook the eggs. So I learned, man, I learned. I had to go through this. I had to be delivered. I had to be delivered from myself. And so I had to understand that I'm significant whether she's cooking eggs for me or not. And so, listen, I can get in there and cook eggs and watch this. And we just as lovey-dovey. It doesn't make a difference. If she get in there and cook them, it's fine. If I get in there and cook them, it's fine, because my life matters. So let me give you, I got a few minutes to wrap this thing up. And let me give you some of my bullet points here, because I want you to get this. Now, first and foremost, you got to understand matter. When we say your life matters, the word matter is a synonym for value. For value. When a life matters, it's saying that the person understands their value. The person understands their purpose and their worth. Therefore, they are in an ongoing pursuit to fulfill that purpose to the extent that they are willing to help others so that God is glorified. So in our marital relationship, I've made it my business, just like she's made it her business, I've made it my business to be the God consciousness of the relationship. And so I'm looking now to look for ways to serve God as I serve Cheryl. I've learned I have value. Everyone say, I have value. I have value. See, when you understand you have value, you don't look for people to do for you. You're looking to do for others. Let's go back to Matthew 5. You got to see what the scripture says. Come on. If you're there, say, I'm there. Matthew 5, verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. So I'm not looking for anyone to give me life. Give me light. I am the light of the world. Look at this. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. That means that when you understand you've been given a light, you carry influence. So in my entire family, my fingerprint is in that family. I've influenced all of them because my life matters. When my life matters, then I am going to look to help others so that God can be glorified by what I do for them. I don't need them pumping me and patting me on the back. Oh, thank you, Daddy. Oh, thank you, Father-in-law. Oh, thank you, Grandfather. Oh, no. I'm looking to do so that God can be glorified. Look what the verse says. Look at verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your, read, good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Will you be remembered for glorifying God the time you've had on earth? Or will you be remembered for seeking and searching for what you wanted out of life? How will you be remembered? So let's look at this. Here's I'll give you two of them, and then we'll pick this up next week. Number one, God says your life matters because he loves you. God says your life matters because he loves you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God says your life matters because he loves you. Go with me in your Bible to Jeremiah. I want you to see this one now. I'm not going to quote this one. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. You got to see this. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. God says your life matters because he loves you. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yes, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Everyone say, God says,
God says
my life matters because he loves me. So now I don't get upset at the things I used to get upset about with Cheryl. Because I was trying to say, if you don't do this, then she must don't love me. If she don't do this, then she must don't love me. No, I understand my life matters because God loves me. So as a result, I'm able to do good works to her, whether she's doing anything to me or not. And I understand that God has been glorified by what I do. So now she's free to grow in the things of God, to live for God, to live her life. And she doesn't have to concern herself with my hangups. Y'all know what I mean by that? Let's look at another scripture. First John chapter 4. No. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. I'll quote First John 4 after I read this one. Ephesians 2 verse 4. You got to get there. Ephesians 2 verse 4. God says your life matters because he loves you. I guess the question is, do you believe that God loves you? Because how you act and the attitude you carry reveals the measure that you really believe that. Ephesians 2 verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Let me help y'all. I don't think you understand it. Look at the verse again. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. I got to ask you a question. When you were dead in sins, were you in faith? Come on. When you were dead in sins, right here where this verse is, were you in faith?
No.
Okay, so it wasn't my faith that caused God to move for me when I was dead in sins. It was his love for me. So now I can't get all bent out of shape and saying, oh, something must be wrong with my faith. There, you didn't have no faith when you were dead in sins. And the Bible says he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. If he responded to me when I was dead in my sins, all because he loved me, how much more will he respond to me now that I'm in him?
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I'm aware of that love.
Yes.
See, are you following me?
Yes.
God says your life matters because he loves you. To what degree do you really believe in that love? He responded to me, Rashawn, even when I wasn't even calling on him. How many of y'all can honestly say that even before you got saved, you saw the hand of God in your life?
Amen.
Didn't God save you from some things? Mm-hmm. I know what the old folks used to say when they said, I should have been dead. Buried in my grave. Because see, I know if it had not been for the Lord, even when I was doing something I had no business doing, even when I was out there whoremonging, he was there to keep me and cover me. Jesus.
Thank you,
How much more does he love me now that I'm in him? And then 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Ever say, God says, my life matters. Let's look at the second bullet point. This will be our last one today. God says your life matters because he gave his son for you. God says your life matters because he gave his son for you. Let's look at this verse. Come with me to 1 John chapter 4. Come on, quickly, quickly, y'all. This is our last bullet point. 1 John chapter 4. God says your life matters because he gave his son for you. See, if you're not careful, you'll try to attach value to your life by what flawed people will do for you. And you're missing out on attaching value to your life to what a perfect God has already done for you. First John chapter 4, you should have it by now. Just two verses, verses 9 and 10. It says, I'm reading the King James. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins. The NIV says that of that verse this way. The NIV says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Yeah. Everyone say, God says,
God says,
my life matters.
My life matters.
Now, what about the person, as I mentioned earlier, who's going through challenges today? The challenge doesn't define my worth, my value. You know, when we went to Africa years ago, and we had just got there, and they had this big youth thing, children's ministry thing. I'm talking about there were 700 kids there. And so we just got there, and I thought they was going to let me rest. They said, Pastor Mark, come on up. Say something to the kids. Speak a word to them, Pastor Mark. 700 kids. I'm tired, I'm blank. But there was an example God had ministered to me before we had left the U.S. heading to Africa. And so I just got up and said that one thing, not knowing if it was going to be, you know, caught or received. So I got up there, was letting them know how much God loved them, and then I went into my wallet, pulled out a $10 bill, lifted it up and said, and my translator was translating what I said, how many of y'all would like this $10 bill? You know, the hands go up. Oh. So then I crumpled it up. Then lifted it up again. How many of y'all, after I done crumpled it up, still want this $10 bill? The hands still went up. I threw it on the ground, stomped on it in the dirt, of that dirt floor and that church in Africa. It got all dirty. Picked it up, that dirty $10 bill. How many of y'all would want this $10 bill? The hands went up. I said, you still want this $10 bill? After all I did to it, I crumpled it up. I beat it. I stomped on it. I got it all dirty, put it in the ground. And you still want it? They say, yes. And I said, and Jesus still wants you too. No matter what you go through in life, your value never decreases. No matter how people treat you in life, your worth and your value never diminishes. Stop looking for people to value you when God has already attached value to you. Say amen, somebody. I said, if God doesn't see you different, then don't you see yourself different? Yeah. Stop thinking you have to jump through hoops to please people when God says, I already love you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My last scripture, Romans 5 and 8. Go there. Romans 5 and 8, my last scripture. And the reason why I believe God wants me to share this, there's some of you all here listening to me, both in the physical service and in my virtual service. You've been struggling with your self-value. Struggling with your worth. And so when you don't believe or act like your life matters, then you'll do things that you feel like, oh, it don't matter if I do this. It don't matter if I talk about people. It don't matter if I talk about you, put you down, cuss you out, do this to you, treat you wrong. It don't matter. And the reason why you do those things and feel like it don't matter because you don't believe your life matters. You don't believe that you've been given a light for the world so that they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Here's our last verse, Romans 5 and 8. The King James Bible says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The NIV of verse 8 alone, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners. Everyone say still sinners. Still. So see, now you shouldn't have gotten a response from God. You were still a sinner. While we were still sinners, Jesus, Christ died for us. Everyone say he placed value on my life. He believed you and I were worth dying for. He believed that even though he had never sinned, and as many mistakes as you make, as many negative thoughts you entertain, as many negative words you may have spoken out of your mouth verbally to somebody else or inwardly to yourself, he still believed you were worth it. Amen. He put value on you. He says you're worth it, you're significant, and you matter. So I got to die to seal this thing for you and to demonstrate to the world and to the realm of the spirit, this person matters. Lift your hands right where you are. Lift your hands right where you are. Come on, everybody on Zoom, lift your hands right where you are. Lift your hands right where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, with their hands uplifted, let your oil pour out upon them in Jesus' name. So they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they matter. I don't care where this message has found them in life. Some of them may be in pain or discomfort. Some of them may be struggling with physical infirmities, physical ailments, physical disabilities. Some of them may be struggling financially. Don't know where the next meal is coming from. Don't know how this bill or that bill is going to be paid. Maybe they are worried and in anxiety because of all the financial pressure they've been in. And then there are some who struggle in relationships, family relationship, marital relationships, co-worker relationships, student relationships. Father, whatever the case may be, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, pour out your oil upon them, my son, Rama Koraba. Pour your oil out upon them in the name of Jesus so that they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that their life matters, that they have been given value, worth, significance, and that they are important to you, Lord, important to others, and important to the work of God in our generation. Father, let it sweep over their soul. I come against the stain that has come against them to cause them to feel like they're unimportant, that they're insignificant. So, Father, from all of that, we rebuke that assignment against them.
Yes.
And we release your grace upon them and let them never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Come on, put those hands together. Give God some praise.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.